Hey guys, welcome back to Keeping It 99, the most edifying podcast in the world, and welcome to season 3 of the podcast. Before today's episode, I have a special message and an opportunity for all of you guys to make a difference in someone's life. Recently, I have a mutual friend of mine whose mother passed away, and they have been living from house to house and haven't really been able to find a place to live. They also don't have a car. So it'd be great if you guys could pitch in a little bit to help this person get back on their feet so that they can get a car and start building their life back up again. The link to the GoFundMe is in the description. Please feel free to donate, and any donation is appreciated. Thank you guys very much, and enjoy the episode. Hey guys, welcome back to Keep It at 99, the most edifying podcast in the world. And I'm here today joined with Katie Neal. Katie, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So we're here to talk a little bit about your music. But before we get into that, I want to know a little bit more about like who you are. So maybe talk to me about your background, kind of your story.
So I'm now a senior in high school at Walton. I used to play volleyball for like 6-7 years, and then kind of found out I could sing and started to learn guitar like 3 years ago. And kind of just switched and stopped playing club volleyball and all sports and kind of started focusing on music, which I now do like gigs occasionally, just post on TikTok, and I also do worship for my church, so it's super awesome. And yeah, it's kind of just a little bit of what I do now.
So why exactly did you choose music as something to kind of show your faith to God?
For me, it's like, I'm trying to think how to put this. It's my favorite way of I would say worshiping God, I guess. I'm very much not like a scripture person. Like I read it, but I can't really like understand well. So it's just kind of another thing for me to do that I find God in. And it also is just, for me, inspiring to at my church, I sing for Life Teen, which is a teen program, and I'm very involved there. And it's just like a way of like working, God working through me to the teens. So I just really enjoy doing it.
So how do you feel when you're, you know, like, I guess, I'll use the word service, like serving the people in your own age group. How does that feel in comparison to maybe serving people of a younger or an older age group? How do you kind of deal with that, you know, serving your peers?
I just think of it as being someone can look up to. Because I know when I was like a freshman, there was a girl who did worship at my church, Avery Belsky, who now lives like in Nashville and is super awesome and super talented. And she was someone I could look up to. And I was like, wow, like I'd love to be like how she is. Or not exactly, but like, it was just nice to have kind of like a mentor, I guess, and someone to look up to. And I don't know how else to put that.
So you kind of see it as like you're kind of like, as you said, like someone to look up to, someone to be a mentor to others, almost like an image of Christ for the people around you.
Yes, definitely.
And I find that to be like a common theme among a lot of musicians that I talk to, is that it's all about like them putting themselves in perspective of what God is doing for them in their own life.
Right.
So how do you balance, or not balance, how do you take what God is doing in your own life and portray that in your music?
Music. I would just say, I guess, like the way I worship, like at my church, when kids come in first, they kind of just, they'll see people around them worshiping and they'll just kind of look and be like, oh, this is kind of weird. Like they won't really do it. They'll think of it as a joke. But I feel like when I'm kind of up there, I'm not really like thinking about anything except like the words that I'm saying in the song, singing in the song, and just kind of like not singing like his words that he wants people to hear to them. And it just kind of makes people realize like, oh, like this is kind of a cool thing. Like, I don't know. Kind of hard question. I'm trying to think. I'm not the best at putting into words.
It's just, for you, it's kind of just like you're going in whenever you do your performances or you're creating your own music, and it's, you're taking what God has done in your life and you're just giving that back to others. It's kind of what I'm getting from what you're saying.
Yeah, definitely.
And I feel like that's like the easiest way to, not just for music, but to do service in general, is to take what God has done for you and just show people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come and see, like what Philip said to Nathaniel. Like, mm-hmm. just come and see.
Right.
So I always find that compelling, and that, like, a lot of times we try to show what God is by, like, showing him, look what God has done for these people. Look what God did in the Bible. Look at all these great things. Look what he can do for you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot more convincing, and I feel like it's a lot more real when it's, look what God has done for me.
Right. Right. Yeah, definitely. So, like, growing up, I would sing around my house, and my brother and sister would just be like, Katie, stop. Like, you're not good. I have, like, videos when I was young of me singing, and you would not think, like, she's going to sing one day. And my brother's very smart. He has his academics. My sister has her athleticism. So I was kind of just always would pray and be like, man, I just wish, like, I had my own thing. And it wasn't till, like, freshman year I was on, like, a church retreat, and me and my friend were messing around, and we're singing, like, Hallelujah or something. And he was on the retreat, and he was just like, yo, like, that was kind of good. And that's when I had met Avery, and I was just like, maybe I'll try playing guitar. My dad has one at home, just see, I don't know, because people were just kind of started telling me, like, you can kind of carry a tune. And I'd been praying about, like, having my own thing, because I knew volleyball was, I wasn't passionate about it. And so I kept practicing, and I'd played the cello in middle school, so it was kind of easy to pick up because it was another string instrument. And I posted, like, my first TikTok singing a worship song, and everyone was commenting, like, oh my gosh, Katie, like, that's so good, like, I didn't know you could sing. And it just kind of opened, like, a whole new thing. And I think it's just crazy, like, something that's hard for me with my faith is, like, trusting that he has a plan and he has a path for me. And it was just, now I look back and I'm like, wow, like, he really did have a plan that was so much better than what I was expecting. And yeah.
So do you see this music as, like, something that you could turn into a career, or is it?
For sure. I'd love, so for college I was debating between Bama and Belmont. I ended up going to Alabama, but that's because my dad's, like, friends with restaurant people, and he's like, you could probably just pick up a few gigs there and get a major that you can fall back on, but then I can still kind of pursue music. Because nowadays, obviously, there's, like, TikTok, Instagram, there's so much social media that you can still post stuff on, and so many people will, like, get famous just off by seeing them on there. But definitely out of college, it's going to be something. Well, in college and out of college, it's something I would definitely love to make a career. It's just one of the harder things to make a career. So, yeah.
Of course, music is always extremely difficult. I guess, like, make it out, if you will. But I'm kind of interested in knowing, you know, like, you talked about how you found out that you were, you had music as a talent and you were passionate for it.
Mm-hmm.
What would you give as advice to other people who are kind of looking for their talent, looking for their thing? What's some advice you would give to them?
Definitely just, like, keep trying. Definitely pray about it. I feel like prayer is such an underestimated thing. It's something you can always turn to. Know that, like, he's listening, and, like, there's something there for you. But if something doesn't work out, or, like, also, or maybe not something doesn't work out, but if there's an opportunity, go for it. Because I feel like people can be scared to, like, take things and think, like, oh, like, what if, like, people judge what I'm doing? Like, you start something new, posting something, or you are passionate about something, I don't know, like, let's say, like, painting, or I don't know. But I feel like nowadays people will just think, like, oh, like, what are people gonna think about it? And it's just, you kind of can't, like, focus on that. If it's something, like, you enjoy and you think you could be good at, or you are good at, you just kind of have to block out everyone else and just focus on it, and it will all work out.
So how do you block out people who maybe are not encouraging?
It took a long time for me to gain confidence and just realize, like, it doesn't matter, like, what they're saying. You just kind of have to go into the mindset and be like, those people have maybe just, like, they're insecure of themselves, or they wish they could do the things you did, maybe, or just maybe they're having a hard time. And honestly, there's been a few times where people have said stuff about my singing or something, and I go home and I pray for them. I'm just like, I pray that maybe if they're struggling right now and they just have, like, negative things to say, that things get better for them, because you just kind of have to be the bigger person, I guess. I don't know if that makes sense, but.
No, it does. I think, and like you said, you keep relating everything back to prayer. Is something mm-hmm. I'll touch on in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But to go off your point, like you said, like, it's always about realizing that other people's opinions are not facts. They're mm-hmm. opinions at the end of the day.
Exactly.
And everyone's always going to have something to say, and there's always going to be, there's negative and positive opinions. And I right. feel like, and it's not only the negative opinions that you take with a grain of salt, but I think even sometimes the positive comments
yeah.
you have to take with a grain of salt in order to, like, keep that humility.
Yeah.
It's something I've definitely realized doing this on both sides, and I'm sure you have as well.
Right.
But I wanted to go back to the talk about prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you said, prayer is very underrated, and I see that as something, especially among, because I'm an Orthodox Christian, so among mm-hmm. a lot of Orthodox Christians.
Yeah.
Because we have a spiritual aspect and a physical aspect of our worship, a lot of times we forget the spiritual act of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times prayer is neglected. So I always see prayer as, like, a huge thing that needs to be worked on, in at least in my community. So what would be your advice to people who are trying to, like, start their prayer life? Like, what are some tips? What are some things maybe to, you know, get that started?
I would just say, like, even with the little things, if you're having a great day, just be like, God, like, thank you. Just pray about it. If you're having a bad day, even better, go pray about it. Like, it took me a minute to realize, like, you don't have to go and pray only when there's bad things happening. If you're having, like, the best time of your life, pray about it. Thank him for it. It's just, like, I guess the little things with it.
Yeah, and I think that kind of relates to, like, the arrow prayer, which is saying, like, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, help me. Lord Jesus Christ, save me. All these things.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so, sometimes we think of prayer, we think of, like, sitting down in your room, you know, closing the door, like, praying, like, really long,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, heartfelt, just, like, a monologue of just, like, talking about, you know, God, like, do this. Like,
mm-hmm.
Thank you for this. But it doesn't have to be all that.
Right.
It can be very simple, can be very straight to the point, very short. So I think, to echo, like, what you said, like, I think prayer is very important, and it's something that a lot of people kind of, like, brush under the rug.
Right. And I feel like they think it has to be some, like, super, like, good words, you know, yeah. like, people, you see, like, people who preach and they can give, like, such great prayer. But, like, that's not the case. When I lead, I'm on, like, the leadership team for my church, and we'll have, like, groups of, like, kids. So, like, this past weekend, I was on a church retreat, and we'll be like, does anyone want to open us up in prayer? And, of course, all the teens try to avoid eye contact with you, but we end up picking someone. And they're just like, but I can't. They're like, I don't know how, or, like, it's not going to be good. I'm like, you could literally just say thank you. Like, it could be three words, and that's, like, enough. Like, it doesn't have to be some super sophisticated type of prayer. And I just feel like maybe there's, like, a expectation set with prayer that people think it has to be, but, like, that's just not the case.
Yeah, because I would like to say, like, you know, prayer is, like, if you look at what the word of prayer means, like, the definition, it's just, like, a conversation with God.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're having a conversation with someone, you don't have to speak in super long paragraphs.
Right. Like,
you're writing an essay.
Exactly. And that's actually exactly how I think about it, is when I'm praying, it's just like I'm talking. And it's like, if someone were to hear, like, how I'm saying it, they'd be like, what? But, like, I know that he knows, like, he knows everything that's going on in your life. So, like, he'll understand what you're talking about. So,
Yeah, that's something I think a lot, because a lot of times people are like, oh, I don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's like, it doesn't really matter what you say. At the end of the day, like, what you say does not really matter.
Right.
It's the fact that you're saying something.
Exactly, that like you're showing up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and turning to him.
So moving on from that, I think, like you obviously said, like, prayer is very important. How does prayer and music, like, where do you find that intersection for you?
Definitely just with worship. Honestly, I love singing country music, but my favorite form of like genre of music is worship. It's just such a different feeling. And I know, like, sometimes I'll do you know what adoration is?
I know what the word adoration
is. Okay.
Means,
okay. But... Well, it's like, basically at our church, it's like God's in front of you, and it's just a whole different feeling, I guess, for me when I do it and or like lead worship for it. And also just like hearing, sometimes I'll like strip back my guitar and just hear kids and everyone in the room like praising, and it's just such an awesome experience. And I feel like that influences me with like my faith, like you're doing something right, I guess. I don't know.
As in, like, other people also worshiping around you influence you in
mm-hmm.
a positive way?
Yeah.
So I'd like to talk more about, like, your faith specifically, maybe moving away from the music. Because I know it's very hard as a high schooler in America
yes.
to...
Yes,
and it only gets harder, by the way.
Right,
To be such a strong Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you deal with that? How do you do that?
So I think something that I keep in mind is I'm not perfect. My faith life is not perfect. And I feel like people can make it seem like they're always very consistent and very on top of it with their faith. But I just, it's not, to me, that's not the reality. I feel like your faith life can be very up and down. There's times where I stray away from it and I, you know, fall into sin and just, I'm at like a low. But then, you know, I kind of just, there'll be times where I'll come off a retreat. I call it like a retreat high. You know, you come home, you're like, I'm going to do scripture. I'm going to like be at church more, you know, and I'll have that high and like consistency for like a month, and then it will go back down. Like, I just feel like I just have to keep in mind, like, it's not just going to be like a straight line. There's going to be ups and downs with it, and that's okay. Like, it's kind of just how you handle it. And, you know, I always just pray for, like, to love like he does and just know that, like, he will always be there. If you were to walk away, there was, I was reading Sadie Robertson's book called Live, and it was talking about, like, a story how, a father had two daughters, and gave them like each half inheritance or something like that, and one of the daughters, like, it was smart, invested it. The other daughter, like, went off and partied and just ran through all her money and like came to the point where, like, basically homeless, and she was just like, I don't want to go back, but like, I'm not gonna live if I don't, but like, I'm not worthy of my father's love. I'll just go back to like work for him to make money, but like, I'm not worthy of anything. And she came back, and she headed back, and then there was like a coffee shop, and her father walked in, and she was just like, they were both like in shock, but he was like, I've come here every day because I told you to just meet me, or because, like, I forget how it goes. It was like something about how like, meet me where we last saw, like, I would come here like every day since you've been gone. And she was like, no, like, don't be nice to me, like, I'm like unworthy of like your love. And he was like, called his mom, or his wife, her mom, and was like, make like a big meal, like, we're gonna have a party for her coming home. I really forget like the story, but I think it's in the Bible.
Sounds
or something.
Like the prodigal son.
Yeah. Okay. That's probably what it is.
Yeah,
I don't
sounds
know.
Like a modernized.
Yeah. Yeah. A modernized. There was like multiple versions in the book or whatever. And they like went home, and he was basically just saying like, like, I will, like, always love you. And I think that's something that people don't realize. It's just, like, he'll always love you no matter how much you mess up, how much you try to, like, get off his path, get away from him. Like, he will always be there. And I think that's just something I, like, always keep in mind.
Yeah, it's definitely something to keep in mind, is that God, no matter how imperfect you are, God is always perfect. Mm-hmm. His love is always perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, it does not matter what you do. He will always love you the same.
Right.
No matter who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about, you know, what can I do to allow myself to be loved?
Right.
Because God's love is unchanging.
Yeah.
But it's us who are like, oh, like, we don't want that now. Or like you said, like, I can't go back.
Yeah.
But it's always about, like, humbling yourself and realizing that the only way to life is to go back.
Right. Like, my church leader was explaining how, like, he's always, like, right here. We're the ones always, like, moving back and forth, like, to him, I guess, if that makes sense.
Oh, like, but to God, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's, like, something I, like, always keep in mind, is just that analogy, I guess. But, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, like, in terms of faith, especially in, like you said, like, it's never constant. There's no such thing as plateauing.
Right.
It's either up or it's down.
Right.
So it's not about, you know, like, the fact you're going down, but it's about how you're going to turn that around to go back up.
Exactly.
And like you said, like, the retreat high, like, mm-hmm. a spiritual high is definitely a real thing.
Yeah.
But it's, how do you take that high and make that your baseline?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you take that, what you would consider, like, to be, like, the upper limit of your spirituality, and how do you make that to be, like, at your bottom? That's what you want. Mm-hmm.
And it can definitely be hard, especially as, like, in high school, you know, you might have a friend group, you might be the only one who, like, is in your faith. So it's like, well, my friends are doing this, you know, I'll go do it. And you kind of just go away, kind of not forget about your, like, God, but just kind of focus on the social aspect of life. And it can just be really hard. But something that obviously helps is having someone who brings you closer to God. I feel like that's something that has always helped me so much. Like, my brother is very much into his faith, like, was a missionary over summer, always involved. And, like, freshman year, before, it was really, like, I kind of felt like it wasn't, like, my faith. It was more, like, my family. Because I grew up in the church, always going. I used to hate church so much. And I would, like, fight my mom every morning before going because I didn't want to. Ended up changing. But it was because my brother would always give me, like, that little push to, like, just go, just try. And, you know, it kind of met awesome people. So then I kind of went for, like, friends. But then it grew into, like, I'm going for my faith now, because you kind of, like, learn about it all. I don't know. And you kind of start understanding a lot more than when you were, like, in elementary school. Yeah. Yeah.
Of course. And I think a lot of, like, I know myself, like, I had the same progression of not really wanting to go, then going because of friends. And now it's just, like,
yeah,
it's just like that. That's just who I am at this point.
Right.
But I think, honestly, something that helps me a lot and helped me a lot to kind of, I guess, like, be a Christian in a non-Christian world was bringing God with me wherever I go.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of thinking about it like church life, school, home, sports,
mm-hmm.
it was like home, school, sports, God.
Right.
God was just above everything.
Yeah.
If I went to school, it was like God was like, I was doing it for the glory of God. If I was at home, whatever I did, for the glory of God. If I was sports, for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
The podcast, for the glory of God. Everything that I strive to, at least,
yeah,
is for the glory of God. And I think when you have that kind of shift in mindset, it really helps to kind of set those boundaries for yourself of things you can do, and or not things you can do and can't do, but things that you, like, you're comfortable with doing and things you're not comfortable with. And
right. There's
things that maybe you were comfortable with that you know you shouldn't have been doing,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden they become very uncomfortable to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it does suck because,
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of friendships that might change a lot of...
Exactly.
I guess in this, like, the social aspect of life, that changes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the end of the day, like, you have to realize that, like, you're different.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's definitely, like, a way I think about it too is it took me a minute to realize like he's above all, but like he is the one who gave us all these gifts. Like my singing, he gave me that. When I was playing sports, my athleticism, like he gave me that. And it was just, I feel like something I took for granted and I didn't like relate the two, but like now I'm like, it's all for him.
Yeah. And I definitely think like the only way that we can fully understand God's love for us is like through being thankful for like all the things, like going back to
right.
like the prayer thing, for being thankful for everything that he gave us.
It's yeah.
Like constantly living a life of thankfulness, not just like saying, oh, thank you, mm-hmm. but like living that life of being very thankful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like in order to do that, you have to put yourself in perspective of who God is. And I think a lot of times like we lose sight of that, especially in the world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything is about me and it's not about,
yes,
you know, we, or it's about God. It's about just like, I'm going to do what I want to do.
Right.
Like I'm going to be selfish.
That's definitely something like that's mostly the main reason like I'll have like, there'll be times I stray away is just because I'm like, well, it's benefiting me. Like it's fine. Like he's there, but like, this seems really good for me right now. And then that's just not like his love is forever, but that's just like momentarily.
Like temporary.
Yeah. Temporary. Yes. That's what I was trying to think of. And that's just like something that I can struggle with. I know in my faith life is just in the moment I'm like, yes, like I'm having so much fun. Like this is awesome with whatever I'm doing. But then, you know, it kind of goes away and you're just left like in a hole and I'm just like, well, I strayed away. But then, like you said, like it's kind of how you go about that, like how you're going to go back to him, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I think as well, what was I going to say? Oh, I lost it. Wow.
The worst when you lose your train of thought.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yesterday we had like a little our youth meeting here at church,
mm-hmm.
and the thing that we were talking about was how to like change the course of our year, like how to have this year like be a good year, you know, because it's January,
right,
and all that. Well, I guess it's February now, but
yeah.
So one of the things we were talking about, like the question was, what breaks your heart? And that if you, by answering that question and by acting on that question, you stop doing things for yourself. Like we like to mask up like doing like being selfish by saying, oh, it's like self-care, self-love,
mm-hmm.
or we're just like we just like need this time for ourselves.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like you're just being selfish.
Right.
So the way, I guess like the best way to combat that is to be like, what when you see it in the world, like breaks your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the thing that if you act on it, like that will remove that selfishness, because you stop doing things for yourself and you start doing things for others.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that say like, oh, like you need to fill your cup before you start filling others and all that, which is great, except for the fact that by filling others, you fill yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely something I can relate to. I know like me and my leader were talking and with something that breaks your heart for me, it's like seeing someone who has so much potential to like be good, but like they're choosing not to. And I had like a rough patch at my church it's not just church, but I had a rough patch where I wasn't being as involved as I normally did. And my leader was kind of like, what's going on? Like, I was just like, we had gotten a new leader, so it was very much a lot of people was leaving Life Teen. It was a big change and it kind of just like pushed me away. And what was I gonna say? With like how it breaks my heart seeing someone who has like so much potential to do good, but like they're like not, like they're choosing a different path. My leader said something to me and was like, I just like, I know you have so much more potential to like lead these teens and be like someone there for them. But like right now, I feel like you're choosing a different path. And that was like something that like really changed my perspective, because I'm like, that's something I hate seeing, but that's what I'm doing right now. So.
Yeah, and I think like a lot of times, especially when you move into like leadership positions, there's a lot of accidental hypocrisy that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely not purposeful, but it's definitely things where like, you know, you see something that you hate and then mm-hmm. you end up doing it later on and you realize and you're like, oh,
you're
wait.
Like, oh gosh, yeah, yeah.
But I think it's like, that's part of the service and that's part of your faith in general is realizing that like you won't be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things that you say you're going to do and then you don't do it.
Yeah.
The worst is like, so I teach Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
The worst is like you give a lesson for kids and you tell them, yeah, you guys should be reading reading your Bible every single day, praying every single day. Like you're telling them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, do I do that?
Right.
And the answer is most of the time, no.
Yeah. Same.
But at the end of the day, it's like you have a job to do. You have to tell these people the truth, and that is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you have to hold yourself to that same standard of the truth.
Right.
There's obviously ups and downs, but I think like that's something that for me, service has really pushed me to do is to take my spiritual life seriously, because I can't be telling people to take it seriously when I'm not taking it seriously.
Yeah. Definitely.
And I'm sure you found the same way with your leadership and like how, and especially with the music as well.
Yeah. Girls will, because obviously I'm a girl, so I influence girls more, and they'll come up and ask me questions and I'll be like, I try to be like in a good way, truthful. Like they'll be like, I had like this past weekend, she was like, yeah, I had like a freshman come up to me and she was like, I have like a bad friend group right now. It's just, they're always wanting to like go out and, you know, drink or whatever. And she's like, I was like, do they make you like feel good about yourself? And she was like, no, like I don't really like them. And I like explained to her, I'm like, it took me a while to find like a good friend group who will make you feel good about yourself. Or I felt like I kind of saw myself in her, because my like freshman year I was dealing with like the same thing, like people who were not good for me. And well, I guess that doesn't really relate to hypocriticalness because it's like better now. I don't know where I was going with that.
It's okay.
Scratch that, whatever. Like I was trying to say like, yeah, I don't know where I was going with that. So
like almost like the advice that you're giving,
mm-hmm.
A lot of times, whether it's hypocritical or not, like there's definitely like a relatableness to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like there's a saying, it's like the advice you need is the advice you give. Like a lot of times, like you know what you're supposed to do. Like,
yeah.
You know the right thing and it's easy to say it. And it's right. Hard for you to do it yourself.
That's very true. It's just, they'll come up and ask me and, or like even with like guys, they'll be like, how do I like get away from this guy? And I'll be like, okay, like what's the situation? And they'll tell me it and I'll be like, oh, like you need to walk away from that. But then I'm like, maybe I should listen to myself with like another guy, you know, something like that. So I definitely think that's true. But
yeah, definitely in terms of like friendships, relationships, things like that is a lot of times where you realize that a lot of things you're saying, you need to like apply to yourself. And I know for myself, been many, many moments mm-hmm. where people have came up to me and asked me about things and you tell them something and you know that you need to follow that same thing.
Yeah.
So it's a struggle, and mm-hmm. I think it's a struggle worth having.
Right.
I think it's not something to like be like afraid of. I think a lot of times, like people are a little afraid of like looking like a hypocrite.
Yeah.
But I think as long as you put effort in,
right,
and you have an intention to make a change, I don't feel like it's very hypocritical.
Yeah.
Whereas if you were just preaching just to preach, I think that's kind of where you need to like self-assess and be like, okay, am I preaching for the right reasons? Am I saying these things for the right reasons? Or am I just, you know, telling people to do something, but like, I don't really even.
Like, yeah. Like that. Just almost trying to look good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely something I feel like can be, or not with me at least. Well, in the beginning it kind of was, I was like, oh, like, let me put on this act at my mm-hmm. church because I like can't be like, I have to be perfect, for other people. But like now I've realized like you should be the same person you are in the church and out of the church.
Exactly.
Or like with God, like you should be the same person. And that I feel like for a lot of people that can take a minute to realize, because like I said, I feel like sometimes there's an expectation set. But back to the thing about not being perfect, like you're not going to be perfect.
I think it goes back to like compartmentalizing your life. Like instead of just having a box for God,
mm-hmm.
if you have God in everything, then over time you will become like one person.
Exactly.
Instead of like having like a double, like
double life. Nature, yeah.
Double life.
Yeah.
Which is something I definitely struggled with in high school.
Right.
Especially in early high school was, you know, being one person in one place and another person. I was more than double. I was like five different faces, but like,
yeah,
just a different person in every single scenario.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, that's such an unfulfilling, and it's a very hard life to live. So I'll rebound the question to you. What would be some advice to kind of, I guess, take your double sided or trip, whatever, however many faces you have in life, and kind of make it into one?
Let me think. I would say, like, I don't remember my train of thought. Turn it into one. I had like something for a hot second and then it just like ran out. Obviously, like, back to praying about it always. I just feel like that is just such a thing that can give you peace about it. But I know, like, my freshman year, the reason, part of the reason I was like double was because there would obviously be kids making, like, we would post from going on retreats and people would be like sharing it and being like, oh my gosh, like, the church people, like, they can, they stop posting about it, like, no one cares, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's very much like, or I had like a friend group of people who were at my church and we would get called like the God group or something like that, and I'm like, yeah, like, I love, like, I love God and it's my faith, but like, like that, like, I don't, what's wrong with that, you know? And so I feel like my biggest thing was just probably caring, like, that other people thought, like, what they thought about me. So I was like, okay, well, if I don't, like, bring him up, like, bring up God or act like I go to church around them, like, it will be fine. And then if I go to church, I can act like, you know, I've always been in whatever. So almost just ignoring that and just knowing, like, it's okay to, like, have a faith life.
So do you just do worship music or do you do other music?
I do other music. So, like, obviously when I go to play my gigs, I'll do, like, more so country, but then, you know, like, Fleetwood Mac and stuff like that for, like, older people, because that usually is what, there's usually older people there and that's what they tend to like. So that's mainly, I guess, what I do. But then I'll, like, do worship for all my church and life team and all that.
Do you see a world where you kind of combine the two in your own, like, writing your own music?
Oh, yes. Okay, so I, like, my biggest, not biggest dream, but, like, a goal I really want to do is write a worship song. But I just, there are so many good ones. So, like, when I hear, like, Brandon Lake or, like, Elevation Worship, like, these are so good. And so that's something I struggle with. I'm like, I don't know how I'd ever, like, write, like, a good song like that. And there's been times where I've tried, but I'm just like, I just feel like this is so bad. So it's definitely something I want to do is, like, write worship. Like, I've thought about it. I'm like, okay, maybe if I don't make a career with, like, country music, like, I'd be down to, like, like, there's so many worship groups or, like, people who do worship. And I'm like, that's also something I'm totally interested in because it is, like, my favorite kind of music and something I would love to pursue. Just, I guess, depends what my opportunities are, I guess.
So I was kind of more of asking, like, do you see a place where you kind of, like, for lack of a better word, like, you baptize country music into being a Christian thing? I know obviously there's country worship,
mm-hmm.
but do you see that as kind of like, that's where you have your genre, or do you see yourself just doing country and, like, worship is, like, they're two separate things, or do you see a place, or do you see your future as making them into one thing?
I mean, as of right now, I definitely have them as, like, two separate things. I've never really, honestly, I've never really thought about that, you know, like, definitely I feel like could maybe just sparked a new idea for me. Yeah, I honestly don't know, but it definitely could be something cool.
Yeah, I'll take credit for that one.
Yep. if you ever hear me do that, I'll just be like, well, he gave me the idea.
Anyways, because I'm always intrigued because I have a lot of friends that do music.
Mm-hmm.
And well, because Coptic music is it's a little separate from like your classic worship music.
Right.
So a lot of times they will combine, you think worship music and Coptic music, and they'll combine those two.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just wondering if that was something maybe you were thinking of, combining like country with worship and doing like making that, you know, your niche, making that kind of your brand. So that was just a thought.
That's a good thought. I've just never thought about it like that. But like, wow. Wait, maybe.
Because I feel like a lot of times when I mean, so I don't really listen to non-Christian, non-Coptic music, to be honest.
Right.
That's something I did. I made a change when I was, I want to say junior in high school, end of mm-hmm. sophomore year in high school. And I like cut all rap, all whatever, just completely out.
Mm-hmm.
So I know nothing about music. I'm like completely uncultured.
Right.
I will say it's definitely a very positive change. And if you haven't tried it, you should definitely try it.
Yeah.
It's very hard to do, but.
I did it for Lent. I gave up. I only would only listen to worship music, and it definitely.
It makes a larger impact than you think it would mm-hmm. because. Like when you listen to music, like you're in the gym or you're doing homework,
yeah,
it's so subconscious, but you don't realize like a lot of times like what you're actually filling your brain with.
Yeah, no, that's something my coach said for high school. She would pick specific songs that like had certain words in it because she pointed out, she's like you said, like you don't realize it, but like that's what you're filling like your head with. So like if you were listening to negative music 24/7, like that's gonna take an impact on you. And that's definitely something I didn't even like realize until she told me that, and I was just like, wow. But it was definitely like a nice thing to do for Lent. Maybe I'll try again, and maybe not. I just, you know, as a singer, I love.
Yeah, of course.
I don't really listen to like rap, but it's really just worship and country. But yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of times in country, from my very limited understanding of it, more like my listening to my sister's playing it in the car.
Right.
It's a lot of like, there's a lot of talk about alcohol, guns,
trucks. Yeah.
I feel like those are kind of like the four topics of
every single song.
I like to joke around, like I feel like country is not it's not a genre of music, it's one song, and they just made like.
That is honestly, that is very true.
I'm glad I got that confirmation from a country singer.
Yeah, no, every song, or it's like your cheating boyfriend or something.
It's always whiskey too.
Yep. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Like, I don't know. I've had that conversation with someone before, and it was funny. I was just like, that is... It's easy to create a song, I guess, for people because it's the same thing, you know?
But I like... Because I feel like a lot of people say, at least, that they listen to country for, like, just for the style of music, not necessarily the words.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, kind of going off, like, the subconscious thing, like, I definitely see a world where there is maybe not so random topics. Like, you know, like you can make country about God.
That is true.
You can make country about like I like to use the word baptizing it just because I feel like that gives like a visual, gives a visual of like what that means. Like to take a song and like make it into something Christian.
Yeah. There's a few, I don't remember the lyrics exactly. I don't even remember the name, but there's a few songs I know
definitely is,
they do like talk about God, but of course there'll be like one line where it's like talk about whiskey or something. Yeah. And I'm just like, okay, well, you know,
I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing.
Definitely.
There's definitely a market for it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because like, it reminds me of, I'm a Coptic Orthodox Christian. So, a lot of our tunes are, so for example, we have this one hymn, called Golgotha, and it's sang on Good Friday, and it's a burial hymn, and the tune comes from a pharaonic burial tune, like when you bury a pharaoh, like it's mm-hmm. literally what this like the musical like the music of it,
right?
It's like the tune is directly from that, but it's just the words are all about, you know, Christ like dying on the cross,
right?
So it's like I see that in our faith as something that like when Christianity spread into Egypt, like a lot of our things are just pharaonic tunes that got turned into like Christian, like our version of like hymnology.
Yeah.
So I struggle to see why there hasn't been maybe as much of a push for Christian like country or Christian rap. Like I know it exists, but
mm-hmm.
like,
you know. Honestly, I feel like it's just people probably thinking like no one's gonna listen to that because it's to do with like or like they'll be very like way less, not no one would listen to it, but like they'll be like way be less popular, sure. Yeah, it yeah. wouldn't be as popular just because it's like faith, you know, and nowadays people can, I don't even know.
Yeah, but I, the thing is, like, I always, I'm a very like forward thinker, so I like to think like 10, 20, 50 years is kind of how my brain works.
Right.
Thinking, but that's beside the point. So for me, it's always like, sure, like now I don't want to listen to it, but what is the culture, what is the implications on the culture if it becomes a consistent thing
yeah.
in media for the next 10, 20, 50 years?
Yeah.
Because I feel like now, like in the current time, we're kind of, I guess like Christianity is kind of making a comeback in America.
Definitely.
It's definitely on a, since the 60s has been on a very steep downhill.
Down, yep.
But I think now it's, that hill is bottoming out. And it's
for sure.
To gain momentum. Mm-hmm. So I think that, like things like that, the things that are already like, music is a very important thing to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of podcasts out there. There's a lot of, I don't know, like YouTube channels. Like people, like, what do people do? Like, people don't watch cable. People watch YouTube. People listen to music. People listen to podcasts, whatever. So it's like, what can we do as Christians to kind of baptize those things, to make those like things into Christian things,
mm-hmm.
so that it's, I guess, I don't want to say more accessible, but so that people have more exposure to it.
Right. I definitely think, like, with that, like, if you were to, like, if I were to start doing it, the biggest thing is just to not, like, like, I'll see people, and they'll be very much, like, pushy to people with, like, faith.
Sure, yeah.
And I feel like that's what pushes people away, is, like, they're trying to, like, force them into, like, this idea. But, like, that's, like, not, like, how you're going to get them to, like, want to try, I guess.
Yeah, I think, again, like you said earlier, I feel like the best way is come and see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you make the music about, I don't know why we're, like, I guess we're brainstorming now. Like, you make the music about, like, how God has worked in your life.
Yeah.
And then that's it. Put a, you know, good country beat to it.
Right. And, you know, maybe it becomes, like, a number one hit. And then people are like, we need more of that. And then who knows? But, yeah, I guess it's just...
Like, if you think about human behavior in general, like, you and all your peers are probably very similar in terms of, like, peers in general. Like, just people at your age group are probably very similar in terms of, like, academics, like their like morals, like obviously there's people who are like on the extremes, but like for the majority, everyone kind of falls in the middle.
Right.
But then there's always these like small behaviors that add up, and over time, like the distance between you and like the rest of your like the peers, like everyone starts to like space out into like the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like if you think about it, like if you have two lines and there's like 1 degree angle between them. They're pretty close, but then like you go like 200 miles down and all of a sudden they're like really far away.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think it comes down to stuff like that, where it's like those small differences in music, in whatever, like those small differences in things that you do, that's what will make a big difference later on.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's kind of why I feel like you should step into the scene of country, of Christian country.
I might have to now. Like, been struggling with like writing new songs, but that fully just gave me an idea.
So you write like country?
Yeah. I mean, I've posted like, I wrote one song as a joke about like liking a guy who's a Georgia fan, and really cringy. And I posted it on TikTok, and that's like the one that's gotten like the like couple thousand views, whatever. But I'm not like anything special. It's I'm just kind of like, I just do it for my liking. And, you know, of course, people will like bring it up. Like, I've had like videos sent to me of like guys, like they're all hanging out and they're playing my TikTok. And I'm like, okay, please stop. Like, that's really awkward. Because like, I'm very much someone who, when people ask about my singing, I kind of just like, because I don't really like, like, I'm not someone who will, like, brag about it, really. I kind of just, like, oh, yeah, like, I do it. Like, because, I mean, I just would prefer to be humble over it than, like, oh, my gosh, guys, like, I sing, you know. I don't know where I was going with that, but I had, like, a thought, but I just lost it. But.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. It's, like, Oh, it's because I asked you like whether you're like you write your own songs.
Oh, right, yeah. Right.
But it's like of course like, not of course like you're not big time.
Right. Right. Like, yeah. No, I'm just 17-year-old. But yeah.
But it's like it's about again like the consistency, and it's mm-hmm. about like doing the small things mm-hmm. over and over again. Like there's a quote, my favorite quote to one of my favorite people, and it's successful people do consistently what other people do inconsistently.
Mm-hmm.
So like, to put it into like real terms.
Right.
For example, like bodybuilders look the way they do because they go to the gym consistently, which is something that a lot of people don't do consistently.
For sure.
Or, you get the point.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
People who are successful in what they do, it's because they were consistent. It wasn't because they were necessarily talented, but it's because they kept
trying. You know, working. Yeah.
Out. Like, there's a study that's like to be a master at something you need to do it was like 10,000 hours of it, mm-hmm. which is a lot of time.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how you there has to be like an effort put in. Obviously yeah. God does his part and he blesses your work and everything, but you have to put that effort in at the end of the day.
Yeah. Which can definitely be a hard thing because, you know, you'll be like, I'm trying so hard, but nothing's happening. But that's where you're like...
And also, just like, you're trying so hard and other people are saying stuff.
Yeah, and that's where you are like, he has a plan. Like, he has... Like, if you had told me freshman year that I'd be, like, I don't know, playing music at restaurants or even singing, I'd be like, ha, you're funny. But that's, like, that's my biggest thing is when I start doubting that, like, there's, like, he has something for me. It's just, like, that's my reminder. Like, you just gotta trust. Like, I feel like... Nowadays, that's something that can be hard with your face is trusting him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to talk a little bit about like your, you know, going to restaurants and playing music because I'm kind of a little bit interested.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like? Like, how do you even like get that?
So they definitely don't reach out to me. I can tell you that. But my friend Avery. So the first one I did. I had talked to Avery and I was like, so like, cause she also played gigs and I was like, how do you like get them? Cause like, it was something I was interested in. And she was like, you just have to like email them and reach out to them. So I reached out to like 10 places, of course, only heard back from one. Like, that's the thing. It's like trial and error. You're like, you could reach out to like 20 people. You could hear back from none. You could hear back from all. You could hear back from like two. I heard back from one. They had me play. It was awesome. And then, I got the contact information from McCrae's, and luckily I got really lucky and they responded and they had me, and it's an awesome place to play at, but it gets booked up fast. But like, I know there was one time me and my mom went to like we went to down like Roswell and I went into a bunch of restaurants and I would ask like, oh, like do you like who do, could I contact for music that usually have live music, and I sent emails to all of them, but if, like, I didn't hear back from any of them. So it's just very much reaching out, and that's how you kind of like get involved with it, and it shows like you want, obviously are passionate about it and want to do it. So, but it can be hard because you feel a little defeated when you send out like 30 emails and then no one responds back and you're like, oh, okay. But you know, I got lucky and got some back.
So what is it like when you're there?
Honestly, I think it's so fun because it's usually like my family will be there and some of my friends, but also just, I'm very much an outgoing person and I love like to entertain people. So when I'm there, I'm singing songs, you know, people will request ones. But it's very, just very much like, it is a job, but it doesn't feel like it. And very like not carefree, but like very, laid back, I guess. You know, you just go in, set everything up, sing for 2 hours, and then, yeah, I'm trying to think what else.
I'm just, like, I'm honestly just, like, I find it really cool that it's, like, you just kind of, like, go to places and, like, play music. I don't know. I think it's cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love doing it. I also think it's cool. But, yeah. There's honestly not that much to it. If as long as you have like a good like set list of music, you usually like are chilling. because if you go in there and play a bunch of songs people don't know, and like, or if you also kind of have to know your crowd. So like McCrae's usually has older people, but there's also like kids there, and like my friends will be there. So you kind of have to do a mix of like old songs that I honestly don't really like, but my parents are like, but they love it. And I'll be like, okay, like I'll learn it and I'll sing it. And of course all the parents, that's when they clap really loud. But then like I'll play like a Zach Bryan song or something, or Morgan Wallen, and my friends are all like, yes, like I've been waiting for you to play that. Like the parents like could care less, you know? Yeah. So it's also knowing your crowd is important with it.
I think it's important, not just in music, but I think in a lot of things, especially like, this is one of those things.
Right.
Something I've struggled with a lot is trying to figure out what my real audience is.
Yeah.
And I bounced around a lot of between audiences. Like if you look at like, it's so funny because if you look at like, my podcast is split season one, season two, and this is season three.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, this probably will not be the first episode, but
yeah.
First like five or six of season three. So it's so funny. You look at like the first season of a podcast was just like random. Like there was no connection between anything. Everything was just, it was just whatever, like whoever I could get on. Cause you ask a lot of people say no.
Yeah.
It's like the same idea. Like,
right.
You hit the 50 and it's like, you'll have like five say yes. And it's wow. Like
for
there
sure.
goes like 45 people.
Exactly. Totally understand.
So it's like, it was just random, you know? And it was like, I was like trying to figure out, I had a co-host back then, like figure out like, what does this even look like? Like, is this kind of like a joke? Like what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
And then season two, didn't have a co-host, traveled a lot more for it. I feel like I kind of focused in on like a Christian podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then now we're trying to like refocus. I have no idea what's going on now.
Yeah. There's like so many ways you could go about it. So
exactly.
It's like, it's so hard. Yeah, exactly. Like there's so many ideas you could put into it. And one, like when I first started out singing, I was just like, yeah, I like country. And then, you know, I focused more into that and worship. But yeah.
I feel like it has to be like, you have to find your niche stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially
mm-hmm.
when it comes to like making your own music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what I'm saying. You gotta do it.
Yeah.
You gotta do it.
That is true. It's just, you just have to think like, the hardest part is when it's like not a common thing. So you're like, how do I make this like.
But I think it doesn't have to be a common thing. Like,
that's
kind of what I've like kind of realized now about my podcast is like, it's very focused towards the Coptic community,
mm-hmm.
which I'm okay with.
Right.
Because now that gives me a very strong like community that I can relate to very well.
That is true.
Once that kind of lifts me up a little bit, then you can kind of like expand. Now you have like a solid like
base. Yeah, you know? For sure. And also if it's like something you can talk about for like a while, that's a lot better than like trying to like do it because someone like that's what other people like and you're like
And I feel like that's the cool thing about doing music like at like local restaurants like McCrae's for example,
because
like the same people are in there like all the time, like it's like a local place,
exactly.
So like you've built like a, or you're building like a foundation of like these are people who like kind of like know who you are, like know
exactly.
what your music
yeah.
is,
yeah,
you know. As you start to make your own stuff, like they'll kind of be like the I guess like the testers, you know.
Yeah, like the
like what is that, like what does it fit, like how does
exactly.
it kind of work, and then like that's like, you know, your base, and it kind of like expands from there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess now we're just going to do a brainstorming session.
Guess so.
That's what a podcast is. Just
exactly. Exactly.
All right. You have any last thoughts?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, thank you, Katie, for taking time.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so fun.
Yeah. This was an interesting one.
And, yes.
This is a lot of my equipment.
Yes. Good luck with editing. Yeah.
Thank you guys for watching. I don't even know where to look at. Which one to look at? Thank you guys for watching. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, turn on post notifications, and see you guys next week. Thank you.